I'm glad to be saved today. In fact, I'm overjoyed. When I get to thinking about it, thinking of what the Lord has done for me and where He has brought me from and what I enjoy today, it's precious. All that the Lord has built in my life, I am so blessed and I'm so grateful to the Lord for salvation. Salvation is more than getting your sins forgiven. Salvation is Him at work in our hearts, building a wonderful dwelling place while we're here. Not to mention heavenward, but even while we're here, a beautiful, stable place for us as humans to live in, homes to be built in, children to be raised in. What a wonderful thing salvation is. I recommend it to every one of us. As you're young, beginning to grow up and trying to find your place in life, sometimes you hardly know what you're going to do. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. Sometimes we get anxious, take off on our own. I want to encourage us to wait on the Lord. Wait for direction. And I'm not saying that you just sit there and not have any ideas. No, let the Lord develop the thoughts of your mind, the direction to go, and He'll help you. Always let Him point you toward the holy and good way. As you measure your life and you go through and you start realizing that some path maybe is divergent to the good and noble, the holy, the pure, take a good strong look at that. And recognize that this is not correct. There, in the path and the progression of life and the learning that we go through, every one of us, I suppose, old and young, but especially us older ones, as we have already went through life a little bit, we look back and realize there were some places that the Lord dealt with me and corrected my path. And young folks, it'll happen to you. And us older folks, we look on, sometimes we look at some of the decisions the younger ones are making, and we have a little bit of anxiety. We say, Lord, have mercy, help these folks. And we see You recognize, and Lord, correct that, and we want to give You space. But when we see the Lord correcting that in your life, we are so happy. Oh, look at what they're doing. Look how the Lord's leading them. And oh, we're happy. And so is the Lord. And He wants to lead every one of us. I was thinking this morning of it being Father's Day, and I have never been one that liked to have the spotlight in any way on me, but happy Father's Day to all of us, all of you fathers. But also one thing that was passed down to me from my father. He wasn't always victorious he didn't always live for the Lord. But one thing He passed down to me that He didn't waver in. He always let His family know that this is the right way. He always honored it. Always held it up. Folks, there is a way that's right. There is a good way. And I remember when I was young, we were young parents, one of the burdens that I had on my heart as my children began to grow young, I began to pray, Lord, give my children tender hearts. Lord, give my children hearts for You. The Lord also let me know that one of the best ways to teach them, one of the best tools He can use to help my children have tender hearts, is for the daddy to have a tender heart. It's a wonderful thing. Be that example today. Be that example of tender-heartedness. Godly example. Brother Marty was talking about one of the things we suffer from here in this nation. It's not, we don't suffer from men having, fathering children. We suffer from men being fathers. Being especially godly fathers. And we're suffering greatly from that. The Lord wants you and I today to grasp that role, not be ashamed of that role, not relinquish that role, but to grasp it and be godly examples and then lead right on. God has chosen the men of this world and the men, especially of God's church. He's chosen us to be leaders in those roles. Look over with me into Jeremiah. I believe that God intended for you and I to have a clarity, an understanding. We're not good leaders if we don't know where we're headed. God wants us to have a clear understanding. God wants us to be confident, not in ourselves, but in righteousness, in godliness, in the path that He prescribed before us. So He intends for the men, especially of this congregation sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, He wants you and I to find for ourselves the good way. Find for ourselves a godly path. Embrace it with all of our heart. Not be ashamed of it. And confidently lead our families down that path. Promote it. Not just by our words. And words are so cheap and easily said. But oh, I'll tell you, when there's a man that stands up, maybe he can't even stand up Wednesday night prayer meeting and give a testimony without stuttering around, not knowing what part. But the man is a solid, godly man. He's leading. He doesn't always have to say it with his mouth, but he says it with his life. And he's confidently, this is the way. God wants you and I to be able to have that. Over here in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. 16th verse says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Ask for the old paths. I want to stop right there for a little bit. These paths that he's talking about here were very valuable paths. Not because they were old. Antique doesn't really make them valuable. But what made these paths endure? What made these paths come to an endurance? They got old. You know what brought them to age and venerable status? The reason why they were honored and true, because they were tried and proven. And they worked. Look for those things that have worked in the past. Those things that have come down, not just from 1880, but those things that have come down from Calvary. Have been taught to you. Not only that, you know, there's a good truth. What did Enoch walk in? Good path, didn't he? He found it. He walked with God. Stand ye in the ways. Look around. There's some paths that worked. Brother Enoch found it. And I believe if I could stand where he stands and walk where he walked, I'll go and see him where he is. And I want desperately to do that. And I'm not interested in worrying about what other people think of me as I'm walking this path. I'm interested in what my Heavenly Father thinks of me. And that's the right way. Should we be careful for each other? And yes, we should watch, look and care about our fellow man. But folks, the best way to help our fellow man is to be that godly and proper example. And not be ashamed. Why should I be ashamed of walking with my Father? Why should I duck my head? Because a godly walk makes me different than them. Why should we walk? Why should we be ashamed of that? No, in fact, what we should do is stand there and be that example and be that rock. And when they're wavering and their world is crumbling around them, they're going to look for some sort of stability. And God help us to be that for Him. Stand you in the ways. There was, look for the
old paths, the tried paths, the proven, the good way.
There was recently, back in our community, it wasn't but a week ago, thereabouts, where there was a 10-year-old boy. The story first went out that he was playing on the swing set and got something wrapped around his neck, and they found him out there dead. That's not what happened. What happened, he wrapped something around his neck. 10-year-old. And I said, what causes a 10-year-old to come to a place like that? Why would he not want to live? What is this? 10-year-old. His father, about a year ago, committed suicide. This young man, this 10-year-old child, had lost direction, had lost hope. His father, I don't know what all other circumstances happened in this young man's life, but he had come to the place that the future looked impossible. He was missing that somebody standing. He was missing that somebody that said, son, this is right. And I'll do it with the last ounce of my breath. I'll do it. I'll do what's right. I want to ask you this morning, is godliness valuable to you at all? Is godliness truly valuable to you? To what degree? Are you willing to be one of those numbers that was spoken of who loved not their lives unto death? Are you willing to lay down your personal human desires? Even, and again, I'm not saying it's wrong to go out and enjoy some of the pleasures of life, going out and going fishing and hunting and having some activity. I'm not saying that at all. But oh, be careful what you give yourselves to. Do we love ourselves more than Him? Again, I say stand in the ways. Seek for the proven. Seek that that's old because it's right. Seek that path that has worked in those that have went before. Some of you remember Brother Clifford Wilson that was out here for a while. Brother Clifford Wilson was my pastor for a number of years. Brother Clifford Wilson, he's gone now, so I can say this without him getting puffed up, and he wouldn't have anyway. But he was a man that had great obstacles in his youth. And he was also a man that later on got a hold of God. And he was a man that stood like a rock in our congregation. Sister LaDonna was right there. We came from the same congregation and we saw this man. He came at a time when it seemed like the devil had succeeded in causing terrible turmoil in our congregation. And he came there and stood with loving firmness, godliness, righteousness. And he confirmed to my mind the path that was right. And he called all of us younger ones. All wherever he was, he did that. I know he did it when he was here too. But it was especially precious to me given the time frame, what we were going through. There's a stability. And you talk to Brother Clifford, and he always felt like he just never was that special a person. I know better. What caused that in that man? What caused him to be like that? And he began to tell me how one time younger in his life that there was a lot of these confusing ideas going through his mind. And he thought that he thought this was a good theory, but it just doesn't work. But then he got a hold of the Lord. And the Lord began to cause salvation to be at work in his life. Divine activity of the Holy Ghost of God Himself alive in his heart, working daily, bringing salvation. And it built something in him, and he got a hold of it. And he promoted that. And he wasn't ashamed of it. And I remember one time I was struggling under something. Paul, Brother Clifford, came up there. And I remember he looked at me with such purpose in him. And he never was somebody that really spoke things up, told you what you needed to do. He always encouraged you to seek the Lord and find out from the Lord. This time he looked me dead in the eyes with purpose in his face. And he said, we're going to get the victory over this tonight. He wasn't ashamed of the right way, folks. He wasn't ashamed of it. He'd gotten a hold of something. I want to tell you that path is still here. That path still works. That path still brings stability in our lives. That path still is honorable and it's righteous and it's true and it's worth dying for. Even if it's physically laying our lives down, it's worth dying for, but it's especially worth giving up my ways for. Dying to the flesh for. Sometimes we can theoretically in our mind say, oh yes, I'll die for you. Peter said that, remember? Here's a sword, I'll fight for you to the death. But then, when he had to die out to his own self, it was harder for him. In fact, he turned his back and walked away. That's where our struggle is today. Some of us theoretically can say, I'll die for you. But when the Lord asks for you and I to lay aside some of our human passion, it seems to be more precious to me. But let me tell you what is, even if you don't understand it at the moment that He calls for it, for you laying aside something, even if you don't understand the value of doing that, if you will obey and follow on, I promise you there will be a time later on and you'll look back and start seeing the great value of what He asked you to do. And you will, in the process of time, reap great benefits of what the Lord is able to develop, of His salvation at work in your heart. Again, I tell you again, salvation is much more than just being forgiven. Though that's wonderful. Wonderful to be forgiven for our sins, but that sets you on a path of salvation. That sets you on a path of the divine act working of God in our hearts daily. Lifetime of it. What are these walls of salvation? What are these things that God builds? These bulwarks of salvation around you and I. What is it? These are walls of protection. These are walls that keep you and I. These are walls that keep you and I from getting over in the dangerous territories of life. Those are walls of salvation. Those are walls. And how does He implement those in our lives? By these daily walks that we have. These daily talks that we have with Him. These daily divine touches that we get from Calvary. These things with God Himself at work in our heart. That's when He's building these strong bulwarks. Strong bulwarks has God appointed. What is it, for salvation? Is that how it? The Lord wants to build those in our hearts today. The thought of this congregation is not really any different than most other congregations around the camp of the saints. There used to be a congregation at Nowata, Oklahoma. The chapel has been sold. But I remember when there was quite a lot of, how would I describe this? There was a lot of interest in that area. And then there came a time that, over the process of time, the interest began to wane. And it come to the point that the chapel has been sold.
people moved away.
I think Brother Tony said Eugenie lived there for a while. There's a number of others. There's quite a number there, weren't there? Brother Clifford was a pastor. Clifford Wilson. Sometimes we move away. Sometimes, have you ever seen the changing of humans? When at one point there was a fervor and a great interest and a hunger and a passion for the things of the Lord, and then we get busy with life and things begin to wear and our interests begin to change focus, and somewhere along the process of time, my passion begins to lessen or get less. You understand what I'm saying? You seen that happen? Has it ever happened to you?
All right. I think there should be more heads nodding.
Because we all are subject to this element in our life. But there ought to be a caution. Stand in the way. Look at those who have been successful in the past. Those who have made it. And I want to tell you, they went through the same type of things and emotions you and I go through, the same cycles of life you and I have gone through, and they purposed in their heart to remain true to God. And they chose in the mornings when they get up and didn't feel much like praying, they chose to go ahead and pray. When it seemed like life was too much on their shoulders and the pressures of life was overwhelming them, they chose to stand there. Having done all to stand. You know what it does for the rest around you when you stand? I saw a brother, Donald Sharp, one time. He was my pastor too when I was really young. I saw him and his wife, his family, going through some very strong trials. And I saw him come in one Sunday morning when his wife could hardly lift her head. And I saw him walk in and he greeted everyone with a smile. And he went right to the pulpit and preached us a good message. You know what that does to the rest of us? Causes us to want to stand too. He preached a bigger message by what he did than by what he said. God wants you and I to stand in the way. Stand in that godly, pure, true, noble way. Even when I don't feel like standing. Those who made it. Those who I look back with great admiration to what the Lord, for what the Lord has done. And I see them as giants in my past. Those people, I assess what they did and they stood. They stood. Having done all, they stood because they chose. This is more valuable to me than anything else. I want to tell you, it has effect not only on themselves, but has effect on their family, has effect on everyone looking on, has effect on the congregation. I want to encourage those here in West Virginia in this congregation. I encourage you to stand in the way of righteousness. Stand where God stands. And again, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, I want to also caution you, not to lean to your own understanding. See, this is one of the things that the devil will do to every one of us if he can. To get advantage, get into our mind and begin to pull down the value of pure godliness. And get it to the point in our mind that it's not worth what I'm having to pay for it. Let me tell you what, this pearl of great price is worth selling everything you have. It's worth going ahead, even when it doesn't make sense to sell the farm for it. It's worth getting all You know what I'm saying? What I'm really saying by selling the farm, I'm saying when it comes down to the point where the decision is real close in your mind, if I make this decision, I may die. We're selling the farm. Because it's right. Brother Murphy Allen is another one that has affected my life forever. When I was newly saved, before I was saved, that brother, he had a cancer on his nose that had grown. He was a sick man. And because he cared for the people of our congregation, he would get up Sunday morning and drive 2 hours one way to preach to a rebellious young man like me to sit back in the corner and make fun. And I felt so ashamed later. When I got saved, that I prayed hard, Brother Murphy. I prayed that the Lord would heal him. I had the misguided belief that faith was something that if you prayed hard enough and long enough and convinced yourself strong enough and you believed hard enough that it would happen as you chose. That's not faith. That's human endeavor. And the Lord had to teach me, and He had to have a faithful vessel to use. And Brother Murphy was one of those faithful vessels that the Lord was using. Because of his faithfulness, the Lord was able to use him as a teaching tool for me. Here I was praying hard. I'd go to bed at night before going to bed. I was on my knees beside my bed and praying and begging the Lord, Lord, help us. Please, Lord, heal his body. And I would read some scriptures and I would convince myself that the Lord was going to answer the prayer as I chose for Him to. And I'd wake up the next morning with an expectation I was going to hear that Brother Murphy, if he wasn't healed, at least he had a good night of rest. I'd wake up and as soon as I got some information on how Brother, and there was many times that the answer was it had a bad night. I was so disappointed. I went back and I'd pray until the Lord helped me to understand, began to teach me to understand. That faith is not so much in what I'm asking Him to do, but in trusting Him to do what's right. And that He's big enough to take care of what I submit to His hand. That's faith. That's faith that will work. Lord, You know what's right even when I don't. And Lord, when I see something and I don't have to understand all Your reasoning, but I'm confident that I can put my whole life, everything that I am, right in Your hands and just rest it there and You're going to do what's right. Because He's more interested in you and I making it to heaven than what He is. That we have an easy life. Did you know that saints of yore, the church as it's come down through the ages, prospered more, spiritually prospered more under persecution than they did under ease. And folks were plagued with ease. Hope you understand what I just said. We are plagued with ease. Sometimes you don't think so. We're an easy age. May God help us to purpose in our hearts and in our minds that I will choose the right way. I will do it even through the dangerous age of ease. I will purpose in my heart by the grace of God. Now again, understand, there's another message we can talk about, grace and all the Lord. But I'm talking about what God wants you and I to give Him. And that's a purpose in our heart to go through with God. Sang a song a while ago. It's been one of my anthems ever since I've gotten saved. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know, for God will give us victory. Onward I shall go. Stand ye in the paths. As we stand there, I don't know what he was really... I'm giving you my take on that scripture right now. I'm not sure exactly, but sometimes when we stand and we observe, watching what's going on, the paths, stand ye in the paths. What about this one? What about that one? There's all kinds of ways you and I can choose to go. There's a multiplicity of avenues you and I can take today. All of them being promoted. Some of them being sugar-coated and promoted very well by Satan himself. But then there is a path that is called straight. I'm not talking about just on a line. But there's one that's narrow. There's one that goes through the doorway of Jesus himself. There is one that is built that goes through the bloody doorposts that come from Calvary. And it will not allow anything of self to squeeze through. It won't. Now the Lord will work and continue to work in our lives. But if we choose, want to go the way of the Lord, there's not room for the old flesh to stick out. It's just not. But that's the right path. There's another path that's real, other paths that are so easily found. Many go in there. Seems like the whole world is going after the passions of the flesh. But the scripture tells us they stand and observe, and there's still one path that's right. Oh, you mean, Brother Ivan, we can't all go different paths and we're all headed the same place. No, there's only one path, folks, and that's God's way. I cannot define for you every little intricate detail that the Lord will ask you to do in your life. I can't do that. I don't want to try. You know, the Lord wants to know you. Well, He wants you to know Him well enough that as you walk with Him, He will deal with you and I just like fathers do our children today. As they begin to develop and we watch their steps. And we guide and teach. And we love them enough that we don't just say, oh, is it Johnny cute? There's sometimes Johnny's not cute. There's sometimes Johnny needs a paddling. Sometimes Johnny needs to be talked to. Sometimes Johnny needs to be set right. And God loves you and I enough that He'll correct us in love. Again, I hope you understand, when I use the word paddling, sometimes I can almost conjure thoughts of harshness, because we're human, and sometimes in our human ways we might paddle harshly. But you know how the Lord corrects, and He can thoroughly correct. But have you ever had the Lord correct you such thoroughness, but yet He leaves behind such a sense of, my child, come on. That's my Heavenly Father. And that's what He wants to do in every one of our lives. That's the path that He wants you and I to not only observe and say that's right, but to embrace and take. He wants you and I to go down that path. Not just today. What was it Jesus said? If any man would come after me, let him take up his cross. And He said, do it every day. Daily, as we walk with the Lord, don't get hung up on the pain of the cross now. Because there's, tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear. For I found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. And I love to follow Jesus. Gladly counting all but draws worldly honor, all forsaken. For the what? You mean the cross has glory? You mean there's joy in taking this? Yes, I want to tell you there is. Try it. It's a good path. It leaves behind the aroma of sweetness in our soul. It leaves behind the sense of security. This is right. All the nervous agitation of life when we get alone with the Lord begins to melt away into peace. Because I'm with Him. Tell me not of heavy cross. Tell me, don't tell me the cross is hard to bear because I found it sweet. Don't tell me it's the too hard way. No, because every time I've taken it, I felt such joy and peace from the Heavenly Father Himself. Stand in the paths. Look diligently for the path that God Himself walks. Look diligently for the right way. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, seek and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls. Earlier, just before this, there was a scripture in this chapter. The scripture that talks about the healing. Let's see, 14th verse. Said, they've healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Now, a father loves his family and loves his children. He will walk honorably. And he'll tell them the truth. He'll live out the truth before them. But then you can get some fathers, because of, sometimes inspired by the guilt or the failure of the past, they might try to assuage their children by being too lenient or try to buy their love with money. There's all kinds of tools that people can try to use to gain favor with their family. It's always right to do what's right. It's never right to do wrong. The healing of the hurt of my daughter, hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Let me describe this to you like this. There are some things that God intended for you and I to recognize as evil and wrong. There are things that God never intended for you and I to pet or to somehow lessen the pain of the things that it brings in people's lives. There was a time when, Lord, help me to balance this right. We are to be loving people. We are to be people that would reach out and encourage one another. Never lose that. But never help somebody to feel secure or feel, searching for the right word here. Never make somebody feel good and that's all right to live in a sinful way. Let me give you an example. There used to be a time when unwed bring a child in the world in that way, carried with it a very negative stigma. Yes, we are to reach out and be lovingly supportive. That's still a sin. All involved in that, it's still a sin. But come to the point that it's so prominent, so common, that it has almost lost its stigma. Did you know God still intends for us to feel guilt when we're in sin? And if we heal the hurt slightly, if we alleviate what God intended, you know, if I smash my finger, it's supposed to hurt. If somehow you can make me not feel pain, you know that's not a blessing. We're supposed to be able to feel pain. We're also supposed to feel guilt from sin. we do ourselves and those we have around us, we do them a great disservice when we alleviate guilt. You know what? The only way that guilt can be alleviated is when it's brought to the Father and laid at His feet and we feel His forgiveness. That's how it's supposed to be done. But we as humans can alleviate that. That's not one of the paths that has been honorable. That's not one of the paths that has been tried and true. The old path is one that stood up lovingly and accepting people, yes. But the sin is still sinful. There's a lifestyle that has grown acceptance, is demanding acceptance in our nation today. I want to tell you folks, it's still sin. It's still sin. God never intended for us to soothe over evil. Saying, peace, peace. I want to tell you, God says it's not peaceful. Only one way to have peace. And Jesus said, peace I give unto you. My peace, not like the world's peace. The world can come by and pat you on the back and say, oh, it's okay. But no, there's a path that the Lord prescribes. And He says, this is the way. And He still today holds out His arms to you and I and says, come unto me. There's a path. There's a right way. And it's honorable and it's true and it's time proven. It will lead you and I. There are folks in the past that I've seen live it, godliness right on down to the end. And I'm confident they passed over there with joy in their heart. They face the Lord now with it. Clarity. I want to walk the same path. What about those numbers that were seen over there in Revelations? They clothed in what? White raiment? What it talks about the church without spot or wrinkle? This talks about people who have also loved not their lives unto death. All this description talks to me of people who have passionately pursued where God stands. What about you today? What's going to happen here to this congregation in West Virginia? Let me tell you what happens. There was a man that was right here in this neighborhood that got a hold of God years ago. And he loved Him enough that he laid down his life. This man was a man. This man was a strong man. This man jumped out of a plane over France, landed on the ground over there, didn't know where he was, faced enemy bullets, and he was damaged by his experience, and he came to a place that he gave his all to the Lord. And he got saved and found something so precious, and he came back here. And he wasn't always treated right. And I asked him one time about some of his experiences, about his wife. You know what his answer was? He said, I love my wife. Should you pray for her? I want her to be saved. But now y'all know who I'm talking about, Brother White, Brother Jim. Again, he's gone. He won't get proud of what I'm saying, but I want to tell you, he paved a right way in front of us. It was the right way to live, folks. Who's going to be the next Jim White out here? Not just here. Wherever we live. You going to be that? What made him that? He got a hold of God. He put a value on that more than his human passion. He grabbed the cross daily. Folks, it works. That path works. Not because of its antiquity. Not because it's got the patina of age on it. No, it works because it's beautiful because it has borne the test of time and it's proven it's right. I want to ask not just the congregation here at West Virginia, but we're from all over. When we go to where we live and we live in our congregations, there's purpose in our heart. whether man or woman here or child today, there's purpose in her heart
to live it, to be right. I don't care if they do mock, if the people of the community don't like who I am. I want to tell you, if you stand there like a rock and do it God's way, there'll be a day they look over there and say, that fellow's got something. But Jim White did that. He laid a good foundation right here in this community. Then there came a time that a tent meeting came in. And people saw the truth that Brother White had been teaching, saw it preached out and lived out in other people's lives, and they began to be drawn to it. And there was such a passion. Oh, yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, all the Lord was at work, and people were hungry and thirsty. Is that still where we are? God help us. If we have found the coldness or the coldness to be,
allow this chill of the world that has come around me, if I allow it to go ahead and pervade my life and drag me down this way, there's others have taken it before me. Wisdom's crying in the streets. Look around. We don't have to look very far to see others that have taken these paths. Has it worked well for them? Or has it left questions? Questionable things in their lives. Oh, there's a path that's right. I dare say nobody here has a question about how brother, where Brother Jim White is. You know why? He left behind a godly example. That's what he wants you and I to do. That's what God wants you and I to do. Leave behind. And again, it's not, I don't want to just lift up Brother Jim White or Brother Murphy Allen or Brother Clifford Wilson or any others that I mean. I don't want to just lift people up, but yet those are people who sought and hungered after God. Sought and hungered after righteousness, after godliness, and they pursued it with all they had, and it worked. That's the path. Jesus tread that one, didn't he? Let's go ahead and lift him up. And he bids you and I to follow the same way. It'll work. Brother Paul took that one. And he came down toward the end. And he said, I know it's about time that I'm going to be sacrificed. Understand that. And he said, did he have fear or doubt? What? You remember how he spoke about that time in his life? Oh, I fought a good fight. My course is just about run. And I look back and I recognize all the things I went through. He said they were just light afflictions. And I'm looking just beyond where I am now. And the crown that I'm looking at is, oh, I'm going to go see him. Was there any doubt in Brother Paul's mind? I want to tell you folks, he took this path. It's still here. It still works. And it will still enliven our communities that we live in. We stand like godly men. Now there's a scripture that says, quit you like men, be strong. That doesn't just mean men. That means you women folk too. Quit you. Stand. When the word quit means be like. Be like a man. Act like it. Stand there strong. In our communities, God help us everyone not to just pursue an outward appearance of being godly. Oh no, it's got to run deeper than that. But be godly. In our community, stand there like a man. Promote, don't be ashamed. Promote godliness. Stand there. It will bless your community. And maybe you say, well, I've been doing this all by myself for the last so many years. You hang on. Brother White was godly and true right in this community for years before the Lord sent a tent meeting here, made a congregation out of this area for years. You be faithful. You stand right there.
Even if the Lord never makes a congregation where you live, I want to tell you what, He's got a place in heaven for you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul was looking out there and he said, there's a crown just right beyond the horizon. Brother Donald, you be true and faithful. Won't be long. There's a crown just beyond. Brother Clifford Wilson. Brother Austin. That's Brother Austin Wilson. Yes. There's a path that has been tried and proven. Let's walk in it. The good example has been laid. Jesus Himself laid it. Others have tried it. We are now surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that have proven over and over again that this is the way. Walk in it. Let's seek for it. Let's passionately go after it. It is the right way.
Pray for me. I want to make heaven.